Today's daf in the Sichet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is a daf kuf yotet. Yesterday we got up to an analysis of the 369 years of Shiloh. We went through how we know that there were Sheva Shekivshu, Sheva Shechilku, how we know that Shiloh was there for 369 years. And we even went through the Cheshbon from the Navi Yechezkel, how the Yovlot work out, the 17 Yovlot minus the 14 years of Gilgal. And today we come to the next part of the Mishnah that talks about the time period between the Shiloh period and the Beis HaMikdash. So we learned that there were 369 years for Shiloh, and then came 57 years partially of Nov and partially of Givon, and during that period the Bamot became Mutarot. Now, where do we know that there was a Heter HaBamot after the Churban of Shiloh? Minani Mile, the Tana Rabbanan, since the Pasuk says in Re'eh, and that's where we were, remember, we were basing our Yishamer Lecha, that was the Azara, Yishamer Lecha, so that whole parsha talks about the idea of coming into Eretz Yisrael, what it is that you'll be able to do once you get there, and the difference between Isha Yashar Beinav Tazel is given as Kilobatem Adata El Amenucha Ve'El Anachala. So you can't do everything that we do here today, can't bring all the korbanot that we bring here in the Mishkan, because you have not arrived at the Menucha and at the Nachala. Now, these are obviously two different places because it says Ve'el separately. It doesn't say Lobatem El HaMenucha VeNachala, which would have meant, you know, a double way of referring to finally arriving. But over here it says two different things, El HaMenucha VeLachana. So the Menucha must have been the first stage, and that Menucha was Shiloh, and the Nachala is Yerushalayim, where you're finally settled in. We're going to get to this question more precisely as we go along. So why do you think that they were mentioned with the L in between to keep them separate? Kideli tein heter ben zeh lezeh. It means that there's going to be two periods. So currently I'm talking to you in the Midbar, lo batem arata el hamenucha. But that same, these same words will be relevant in the future. And yes, it may be some 400 years in the future, but once again, you'll be faced with the question of Arbamot Mutarot. Well, I tell you once again, Lo Batem El HaNachala. So that means in that period, when you're about to come to Yerushalayim, also between the two, which was 57 years, you will have a Heter of Abamot, where the Bamat Tzibur will be located in Nov some of the time and in Givon other of that time. Now, the next thing that we need to worry about is that the Mishnah said that you have to eat, when it was talking about Shiloh, b'chol haro'eh, right? So as long as you can see Shiloh, that's okay. Now, that obviously was not true about Nov and Givon. But when it does teach the dinim of Shiloh, and it talks about where you eat kachim kalim, and where you eat Maaser Sheni, and now all of a sudden, it doesn't talk about Maaser Sheni when you come to Nov and Givon. Now, why is that? How come it left out Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni, now I'm listening. It ought to talk about Maaser Sheni the same way that it did in Shiloh. Omarlei, there was no Maaser Sheni. Why? Because Maaser Sham Sham Mi Oren Koyalfi. We have a Gzeres Shava that uses the word shum as being very important. Because when we have in Re'eh, we have Ve'hevetem shama olotechem, zifrechem, masrotechem, trumat yetchem, nidrechem, nidvotechem, v'chorot bekarchem v'tzonechem. And what do you do with all of those things, which includes your miser? Ve'achaltem sham lifnei Adonai Elohechem, v'samaktem b'chol mishlach yetchem, shum. That's what it's all about. Shum. Then you have a halacha. Yes, absolutely. You need to be very much aware of the shum. Okay, so that means that we've got this idea of shum, and the same shum is brought binogia, the din of where you put the orin. And it uses that same lotion. V'samta sham et aron ha'idut. And so on. V'sakot al aron et ha'parochet, in terms of the building of the Mishkan and the placement of the aron. That word of sham, and remember that sham is very relevant to the entire idea, because it's the meaning of sham is in that place. And the whole discussion that we have here is about place and the difference between the bomot and then the period of non-bomot is the difference of place. If bomot are mutarot, then it means that there's no real concept of place at that point. So if that's the case, then if the Oren is not there, and the Oren, remember, was in Kiryat Yarim after it was returned by the Plishtim, and it stayed there until David brought it up to Ir David in preparation for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, as long as there's no shum of the Oren was only put shum in the fourth year of Shlomo HaMelech, right? And that was the whole tefillah, Se'u Sharim Roshechem, we're bringing the Oren HaBris into the Beis HaMikdash. So as long as there's no shum there, then there's no din of Achilles Meiser there either. Meiser Nami lo havoi. Says Reish Lakish, that's a very brilliant lima. The problem is that if it's true, then there shouldn't be an Achila of Psachim or of Kachim either. Because when it comes to that, it also says Shom when it comes to the bringing of the Pesach, and when it comes to the Achilas Kachim. So if you're going to tell me that this is a din in the Gzera Shava, why wouldn't the Gzera Shava apply even to the Kachim that was supposed to be brought Shom, and there was no Shom because there was no Oren? The Kivan to Oren Lehavi, you say the same thing. If there was no Oren in Oven Giva, and during that time, remember the historical background. Shiloh was destroyed with the Lekichas Ha'arim by the Plishtim. The Plishtim were really walloped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They ended up sending the Oren back, and the Oren was then placed in Kiryat Yarim. So once it was placed in Kiryat Yarim, there was the first attempt of David to bring it up, which ended up with the Peretz Be'uzah, and that was a disaster, and then he was afraid to even bring it up again. But meanwhile, Nov and Givon were active while the Oren was sitting there in Kiryat Yarim. And even after David was able to bring up the Oren, he didn't have where to put it in the Beis HaMikdash, so he kept it in Yerushalayim, in Ir David. But that would mean that as long as Nov and Givon were still active before the Binyan, there was no Oren in Nov and Givon, ever. And therefore, what we're saying is there would be no Meiser. But if there's no Meiser, Reish Lakish is pointing out, then there shouldn't be a Korban Pesach, because we have the same Shom. And there shouldn't even be Achilas Kachim, where also it says Shom, V'chaltem Shom. So how could this be the basis of it? You should say, Kivan D'Oren Lo'Havi Lo Yinu Nami Lo'Havi. So we're getting now, meanwhile, a really broad historical picture of this whole the whole period. It's just so wonderful. We're looking at these 480 years, like just with a perspective, seeing the whole thing and what exactly happened at each point along the way in our relationship to the Shekhinah. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense. Says Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, you know, you are really right, and that can't be the basis. So therefore, I'll tell you what the basis is. How many? The Mishnah that says over here, Badavka, leaving out Maaser Sheni, and therefore implying that Maaser Sheni is not limited in its achila to Nov and Givon. You don't have to go to Nov and Givon. You can eat your Maaser Sheni wherever you are, is Rabbi Shimon. Remember Rabbi Shimon Shita? We spoke about at length yesterday, that a tzibur also cannot be makriv in the zman of heter abomas, on abomas tzibur, anything besides a korban pesach and other korbanos similar to a korban pesach, which are korbanos derechovot shekavu alehem zman. So only those could be brought. But chovot she'ein kavu al zman, he said you can't bring on aboma gedela. Well, I'll give you a nice example of chovot she'ein kavu alehem zman. Meiser Behema. Is Meiser Behema have a kvias of a time when you're supposed to bring Meiser Behema? No. So if that's the din, then since Maaser Behema, which are chovot she'ein kavua lehem zman, That means that Maser Behema for sure was not brought in Nova Giva, according to Rav Shimon. And now, if that's the case, then we know that we have the standing Hekesh of Maser Dagan to Maser Behema. You say Aser to Aser, which means Al Shtei Maasrot HaKatuv Medaber, and that's a Hekesh of Maser Behema and Maser Dagan. So if Maser Behema is not brought to Nova Giva, then Maser Dagan is not brought to Nova Giva. So wait a minute. So what are you saying? So you're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who argued with Rabbi Shimon, and he said that even a korban that a yochid was mechuyev could be brought in the Bama Gedola. Remember, he has the exact opposite shita. So are you telling me that that would mean that they could bring Maaser Behima, and therefore they would have to bring Maaser Sheni to Dovin Giva? Is that what you're saying? Absolutely. It's exactly what I'm saying. And you know what? Amar Rav Ada Bar Masna. Rav Ada Bar Masna pointed this out before you. You know, it's not like you're pushing me into a corner. Maaser Sheni uMaaser Behima are ne'echolim b'nov and giva, l'divir Rabbi Yehuda. Absolutely. I mean, what are you looking at me like I'm crazy? But, I mean, don't you need, like, a bias? Don't you need, like, a Beis HaMikdash? Is it really just a function of having the Mizbeach HaTzipur there? I mean, v'aboy bira. I mean, the concept of a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, lifnei Hashem, I mean, doesn't that mean that you need this idea of the bira, the Bira Asher Hachinoti is the Lashon of the Pasuk. It's my capital, so to speak. Where's the capital building? Says the Gemara, well, you've apparently forgot the Braita that Rabbi Yosef taught us. V'lavtoni Rabbi Yosef. There were indeed Shalash Biras that had a din of a Bira. Shila was a Bira. Novin Givon had a din of a Bira. Beit Olamim had a din of a Bira. And what was he referring to? Meaning he, Rav Yosef, who said over the Braita, said, you know what the Braita is referring to? Hu Tanila, he quoted the Braita and he explained the Braita. Vu Amarla. The Braita is referring to the concept exactly what you put your finger on. That Habari Bira, says Rav Yosef, precisely. And that must have had a din of Bira, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, where there was Achilas, Maaser Behema, and therefore Maaser Sheni, and all of the Kachim, in Novin Givayim. Next piece that we had in the mission. Bo the Yerushalayim and Nesru HaBamot and Lo Haya Lahem Od Het. Once you got to Yerushalayim, there was never a Heter HaBamot again. And the difference between the Menucha is that Menucha was Shilai and the Nachala was Yerushalayim. And therefore, after Nachala, there's no indication of anything being Mut. Okay, now, everything looks very neatly sewed up over here. However, we are now going to discover that actually this is a big machlokas, and it's not so pashut at all. And there are even shitos according to which it would be mutter bizman hazeh to have bamut. Although in the end, those shitos became bottles. We'll see. Tana Rabbana. So this is the Braita that lists the equivalent of our Mishnah. I have a terrible feeling that Dr. Barry is sneaking away. And then the screen goes blank, and then the squiggles appear, and then in the end, the whole thing goes blank. Ha! We're on to you. So, what does it say? When it says, Kilobatem adata ela menucha ve'ela nachala. So we said, Menucha is Shila, Nachla is Yerushalayim, and I'll show you that those are really the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to those places. That when it comes to Yerushalayim being called Nachala, so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yirmiyahu is talking about the Ra of Yerushalayim, so it says there that Haitali Nachalati Karye Beyar, that my Nachala, meaning Yerushalayim, has become, it's like roaring from all of the tsar of the people that are suffering there from the moneylenders and the rishayim that are not mevakish mishpat and so on and so forth. So obviously that's a reference to Yerushalayim. That's what Yirmiyahu was referring to. He calls it Nachalati. And it also says the same idea in the pasuk of Ha'ayit Savua nachalatili ha'ayit saviv aleha, so that there are these vultures over here that are in my nachala, once again being talking about the tsar of the people in Yerushalayim from the Rishayim. Anyway, but clearly nachala is the idea of Yerushalayim, so seems pretty much mevusas on the psukim. So says Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Shimon, once again, has got a different approach. And Rabbi Shimon says, actually, Menucha is Yerushalayim, and Nachala is Shila. And here, I'll show you that Yerushalayim is called Menucha. That you can't argue with it. It says, Zod Menucha ti ade ad, po ivitia, and po eshev ki ivitia. This is the place that I'm going to stay. And that place is Kibachara Hashem B'Tzion Iva. There was a taiva for it, a desire for it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu found that place desirable. And what was that place? It was referring to Tzion. So, and it calls that Menuchati Ivitia. So obviously, it must be that Yerushalayim is Menucha. So Bishlam L'mad Yom Menucha Zu Shilo. I mean, it makes sense to call Shilo Menucha, doesn't it? I mean, because, look, you don't put the later thing first. I mean, it says in the pasuk, El HaMenucha ve'El HaNachala. So that seems to mean that you have not as yet come to first of the Menucha, and you haven't gotten up to the Nachala for sure. But if you say Menucha is Yerushalayim, and Nachala is Shilo, so, I mean, what would be the point of saying, L'batam ad HaMenucha ve'El HaNachala? I mean, it should have said it in the correct historical order. Lo batim ela nachala vela menucha. Why would it say menucha v'nachala then? No, maybe what it's saying is, listen, gentlemen, you can't bring whatever you're doing today, because not only have you not arrived at the menucha, you're not in your final resting place, right? But you're not even up to the moment where you're going to have your nachala, which is Shilo, and that's where they gave out the nachalot and so on. So you're not even going to have that. So obviously, you can't do whatever we do today because you don't have the Kedusha of a Bayit. Now, there's also two other shitas. So the Tanit Ve'Rabbi Shmuel, Nachala and Menucha are both a reference to Shila, which means that there is no heter, doesn't say anything about being a heter between Shilo and Yerushalayim, according to him, because according to him, both of them are referenced to Shilo. And the only way that we knew that there was a heter, bein zeh lezeh, was because it separated El HaMenucha ve'El HaNachala. As to why it does, that we'll talk about in a moment. But even though that's true, it doesn't change the shita of whether Bamas were Mutaras, but for a totally out of left field reason. And that was that according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Bomas were mutter, and that's because that there was no Kedusha after Churban. And he holds that even Kedushas Yerushalayim was only Kichela Shaita, velo Kichela Tid Lavo. So if there's no Mokom that's Kodesh, then there's obviously no Isser of Yishom Elocha Pentala Olotecha B'chol Mokom Asher Tireh. I mean, why not? There is no other Mokom. Ki'im el ha-makom, but when that makom is gone, and the kedusha of that makom is gone, if you hold enu kodesh latid lavo, so then, of course, there's a heter. By definition, why would it be aser? So anyway, according to Rabbi Shmuel Shita, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that there was a heter ben zeh lezeh, and both of them were Shilo, as Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai holds, both of them were Yerushalayim. But then that would mean that according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the entire period of the 480 years, 440 years, Bomot were Mutarot, because there was no time in which the Torah answered during Shilo. It was only coming to Yerushalayim. Kilo batem alata, lamanuch velanachla, is Yerushalayim according to him. Wow. Now that's a completely different shita. So now, Bisham amad yama menucha, if you're telling me that Menucha is Shilo, and Nachla is Yerushalayim, which until now was what we were assuming was taken for granted. So that would explain why it repeats El HaMenucha ve'El HaNachala, or even if you hold Ipcha, Even if you hold the opposite, let's say you hold that the, like Rabbi Shimon, you hold that the Menucha is the Yerushalayim and the Nachla is Shiloh. What's the difference? Bottom line is, El HaMenucha ve'El HaNachla makes sense because it's two different places, and therefore we're referring to them separately. But if you're talking about the Mandiyamra, both of them are Shiloh, or you're going to Mandiyamra hold both of them Yerushalayim. So then it just should have been put together. Kilo batem el hamenucha v'nachala, let's say it should say. Or el menuchata nachala, or whatever. But I mean, what do you mean el hamenucha v'el hanachala? They're not separate places. How do you call them else? Okay. That's a good question. I have an answer to that. I don't think it's fatal, but it definitely is not as strongly mashma. Okay. According to Mandi Omar, who says both of them are Shilai, I can explain the wording, because, look, menucha, Shiloh is definitely a menucha, because that's where they came immediately after the 7 years of Kivush and the 7 years of Chiluk, right? So they rested there. I mean, like that, okay, we finally put that behind us. Let's get things done over here. That's why it would be called menucha. Why was it called Nachala? That makes a heck of a lot of sense, too, because that's where they did the goralot for the nachalot, and therefore this was the place where the nachala became kavua. Dichtiv, v'chalek lem Yoshua, v'yaper lem goral b'shiloh al pi Hashem. So that was mamish the time of the chiluk, which was in Shiloh. So both words make sense as adjectives for a place, or synonyms for a place. I understand why we would call Yerushalayim Nachala. Nachala because it's the ultimate inheritance. It's Nachalat Olamim, and that never changes, and it has Kedusha Le'olam, and so on. And that's such Nachalato Lo Yazov, which is Yerushalayim. Yeah, that's the way we look at Yerushalayim. But why would it be called exactly Menucha? In what sense was it a Menucha? I mean, Yerushalayim wasn't a Menucha, wasn't Menucha, my Menucha. Well, it may be the place of Menuchas HaOrein. It's the place where the Orein was put, and therefore, it's a Mokim, which we refer to with the word Menucha. Then we say, Kuma, Hashem, Lemnuchatecha, Tavi Aron Mezecha, and so on. Or Vayhi ben Noach Aaron, as Rashi points out, there ain't no such pasuk again. But remember, the Gemara does this very often as part of not quoting psukim precisely because of the fact that you're not allowed to quote all psukim in the Torah. So we try to avoid as much as possible. So we can put together various psukim. And as Tosis points out, there's various psukim that refer always to the idea of the Makom HaOrein as a sense of Menucha. Okay, but there is. I'm not quite certain. I haven't seen anybody ask this question, but it seems to me that there would be an obvious reason to call Yerushalayim Menucha, because the Beis HaMikdash was built only after Behiniach Hashem Lachem Yoivechem Misaviv. So obviously, he lets you off is the Lashon HaMenucha Mamish. I mean, like, well, why do we have to turn to the Orein and not see that as, that's the reason that you couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash before? There was still Oivim. It was only after David HaMelech crushed the last Oivim. And that's when he thought, okay, so now we can build the Bayit. And Hashem answers him that, listen, you were the one who was the Ish Milchama to provide of the placement for the Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, David HaMelech did everything. He dug the foundations, prepared the money and the materials and so on and so forth. But now we need someone who is also an Ish Menucha. And he didn't have to do the fighting. So the whole thing revolved around Menucha. I don't understand exactly what the problem is. So this is Kasha. Okay. I'm sorry, this is Menucha Zaharan. Wait a minute. Let me just finish the other Mandiyama. So Bishlam and Miyomar Zovazu Yerushalayim. So now, if you hold, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, So then Shiloh means during the whole period of the 440 years between Knisa La'aretz and the building of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, Bamot were mutarot, right? So that means even during the 369 years of Shiloh, the Bamas were mutar. So that would explain why it is that we find that during that period, where the whole story of Shimshon and his father Manoach takes place. So when the Malach appears to Manoach, it says, Vayikach Manoach et Gdi Ha'izim, V'et HaMincha, V'yala Latzur La'Hashem. So, okay, how could he do that? Why didn't he have to go to Shiloh? Because, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, that it was no Isra Bamos during the time of Shiloh. But if you hold according to Reb Yishmael, who says both of them are a reference to Shiloh, and Bamot were actually usher during the period of Shiloh, so how could Manoach have done that? Answers the Gemara, it was a Hora'at Sha'ah. Remember, we already said it was a Hora'at Sha'ah. According to the Mandi Yomar, who says there was no Mincha B'Bama, how come he brought a Mincha? According to the Mandi Yomar, who says you need to build a Mizbeach, how could he have built it? How could he have brought the carbon on a rock, Alatsur? We already explained that you can't ask questions from a Noach because he was acting under the instructions of whatever being this was, either a Navi or a Malach. But the point is that he was told that this is a Rasha to do it that way. So he did it that way, but you can't prove anything from it. Now, in the end, what happened is that the Tana, the Vei Rabbi Yishmael, ended up in the Beis HaMikdash of Rabbi Yishmael, saying over the Braita like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who holds Zov Zo Yerushalayim, which means that in the end, the Talmidim of Rabbi Yishmael ended up following the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Way to remember who changed their mind is to remember that Mashke Gavra, Gavra is the man, you know, that's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He's a tough guy, and he's all on his own. And he was strong enough to drag all of these people, which were the Devei Rabbi Yishmael, I don't know how many thousands of people. I mean, maybe it was even bigger than Mir, you know? And he was able to drag all of those guys over. So, Mashrei Gavra le Gavrei, that's the way to remember. Now, one of the striking issues here that I'm sure bothers all of you, is if the Nachalos were only Mechulak in Shiloh, so then how do we have Sheva Shechilku and Sheva Shekivshu? So I mean, there wasn't Sheva Shechilku. The Chiluk and Nachalos only took place after the supposed Sheva Shechilku, since they came to Shiloh, they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh, which is after the Gilgal period, and now they're going to give out the Nachalos. But the whole Gilgal period was the Sheva plus the Sheva, no? So then they already supposedly finished the Chilkos. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Hello? Hello? Earth calling? Intelligent life in the universe, please come in. Please come in. E.T.? Phone on? Well, at least some people took themselves out. Anyway, so I think that the correct solution to this entire conundrum is to recognize that the idea of Sheva Shekivshu for Sheva Shechilku is not a historical issue. It's a legal issue, obviously, because how can you say that there was Sheva Shechilku? How can you say that there was Sheva Shekivshu? Tell me, when did they finish being Kovish Eretz Yisrael? Decades and decades later, century even. So when they came to Shiloh, Yehoshua starts up with this whole thing. Listen, you idiots, how come none of you have captured your territories? And how are we going to do the Chalukah? And he sends out these three guys to go make a tour with engineers. And they go and they make a tour of the whole Eretz Yisrael, the parts that weren't Mechulak. And they bring all of the topographical maps and so on. They bring back with them so that he should be able to give out the Nachalot that weren't even captured. And the Rambam says the reason he did that is because otherwise I would have had a din of Kivush Yochid. So it had to be Alpi Yoshua that this entire thing was mapped out, it was The whole war was defined in advance, and even though it went on well after the lifetime of Yoshua, it was all called a Kivush Rabim. That's how the Rambam passes halacha, right? So, I mean, obviously, this is not just like an interpretation of Tanakh. It said then, the Kivush went on and on and on and on. So what do you mean, Sheva Shekivush? It's a joke. And then when you say Sheva Shechilku, it's also a joke, because Yoshua in Shiloh, after the binyan of Mishkan Shiloh, Yoshua starts talking about, now it's time to do the Chalukah, and I can't do the Chalukah if I don't have the territory mapped. So how am I supposed to separate Eretz Yisrael and give it out Api Goral if we don't have the maps? So you guys go out into enemy territory still and do the maps. So they're obviously were not Sheva Shechilku. So the whole thing is nuts. It's not just the part about the Chilka that doesn't make sense. It's the part about the Kivshu that doesn't make sense. Not to mention...
Not, Rebbe, so isn't the 7 years that you're not...
Can function? You try English? English, or let me turn on Google Translate. One second.
A united front where all the Shvatim were together and conquered to get together those 7 years, including Reuven and Gad. And then afterwards, there was individual Kivush, but wasn't it like a national united Kivush for those 7 years?
Well, first of all, I had a din of a united national kibush because, as the Rambam says, because of this ma'amat. But this ma'amat is 7 years later anyway. That means that you certainly cannot call the end of the kibush of Eretz Yisrael. The only thing that you could say is that it was the din, the end of a particular type of historical kibush, but it certainly is not going to define a sheva shekivshu of the Eretz. Right? Because why define it that way? Who defined it that way? Why do we make it Sheva Shekivshu, that particular time? Why would that be the idea of Kivshu? And remember, I think the missing point here that talks about your point more powerfully is that since the Gemara said that one of the understanding, how do we know Sheva Shekivshu? Mistavra, that since Sheva Kivshu, so therefore there must have been Sheva Shechilku, which also, I mean, first of all, it's historically not sensical. And what the heck is that supposed to mean? Nobody knows what that's even, what does it mean? Why is it a Sfora? The only way that it could be a Sfora, as we explained, is because it's a definition, not because it's the amount of time that it actually took, but because that's how we refer to that period. So if that's the case, if you're telling me that, as Alon has pointed out, we have defined, we're giving you 7 years of the period that is called Kivush, and that is it. The fact that in actuality, the Kivush continues on over spurts of activity by the different Shvatim, during, and this is for very nogea, remember B'nai Gad V'nai Reuven, because B'nai Gad V'nai Reuven promised that they're going to be there the whole time for the Kivush and for the Chiluk, because they said, until everybody gets a Nachalo, we're not going back. So that for them, this was extremely important. What defines those steps? So if we understand that the Kivush is defined as 7 years, then it makes sense to say that this was a legal transition, like we explained 2 days ago, that this was the concept of Kivush, and therefore, if this is the concept of Kivush, that there's a 7-year period in which things can be given a periodicity, a sense of this is an era. What defined that era? So if 7 years defines that era legally, then it makes sense that the period in which everybody is selecting their Nachala would also have a definition, even though it may have extended way afterwards, and it extended into the time of Shiloh. But the question is, what actually is this period that the Torah is calling the chaos of still not arriving? An arrival consists of those two points. So therefore, if we find that Kalev defined the period of Kivush precisely as those 7 years, there's got to be a reason for it. So he must understand that was what the Gemara based it on, remember? That now he said, I'm 85 years old, and we trace back his age at the time of crossing the Yarden, that he was 78 years old. That meant that it took 7 years for that period to be complete. And this is a legal issue. When he's coming and he's saying, I want the chelek that was given to me, that's because he feels that it's time now for the chalukah. Okay, we could have said back to him, excuse me, Mr. Kolev, but, you know, the whole of Eretz Yisrael is not yet captured. I mean, why should you get your special chiluk when all of these other shvatim haven't even done their kibbutz yet? That's what we could have said to him, but we didn't. So he was aware of the fact that this was the period in which chalukah begins. So that means the whole thing is really a concept. It's not, when I say legality, that's just the legalism of it, but it's a concept of what it takes to be considered the masters, or the ones that have done their job of kibbutz, the ones that have done their job of selecting nachalas. Now, the fact that we have to go ahead, we still have to do the mapping, and that we still have to do the actual hagrolos and so on. Okay, fine. That could take a long time, the same way the kibbutz does. So that would make very good sense out of the shevesh kofshu, shevesh chilko. Okay, so I would put that all together, basically, with that concept as that the Rambam brings, which is brought very beautifully by the what's the name of Reb Shlomo Fisher, Beis Yishai, I think is safer is called. So that's how the Beis Yishai explains it in light of that Rambam, of why it was that Yeshua wanted to make sure that it would have a din of a kivush rabin, which is brilliant. Okay, wow.
Are the implications of this that the constant process of kivush and Yerusha and the attainment of the land is a constant gradual process? It's not just, this was the concretization of the beginning of the process, but then the real earning of it is a constant.
That's what the Rambam says. That's the whole point of the Rambam that I brought, that I said was brilliant. The Rambam points out that in order to make that continuing process a real continuation, instead of personal wars or individual wars that were not wars, Alpi Melech and Alpi Kol Yisrael and so on, that's why Yoshua did this, in order to create this as an ongoing national war, which is an amazing Rambam, because otherwise you run into the whole shaila of Kivush Yochid for all of these other Shvatim. And how could we have Shvatim that were Kovish Eretz Yisrael as Yechidim? Makes no sense. It's a classic Rambam. I mean, it's like so marvelous, you know, to understand how these fundamental dinim had to have been part of the history, and explains the pasuk so beautifully. Okay, lovely. Anyway, continuing on. So now, what is the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that there's differences between the period of bringing a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Hegdash was also outside of the Beis HaMikdash, versus bringing a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, when the time that you made the Hakdasha was actually, anyway, Bamas were Mutaras, and the opposite of making something Hegdash during the time of the actual Iser HaBamas, and then finding Shiloh to be destroyed, and now needing to bring that korban on a bama, and that should be also usher. So remember, okay, so we brought, if you take a look back on Kovav, so right in the beginning, after the Mishnah, where we go through the different dinim of when you went ahead and you were mala. So if you take a look, Atkan, three lines up from the bottom. So Atkan umedaber bekotchim sheik dihigdishan b'shas isra abomis, v'ikrivan b'shas isra abomis. So that means up until now, the isurim that we've been talking about, yishar melecha pentale olotecha. And that's the yishamer, and we said before, that kol l'shana v'yishamer is a lav. So that is the Iser, and it says in it, V'nichrata, and that is the Kores. And therefore, we have both the Lav and the Kores, and we have the Chiev of Asay, the Krivo LaHashem. But that's all when it's referring to the Shas Iser HaBomas. But what about if you made the Hekdesh at the time that the Bameis were not yet Usser? How about then? So then we have a completely different pasuk, as the pasuk continues. We have the Onesh of Petach HaMoed, we have the Azar, in that case, Yishar Melecha. And now, the rest of the psukim, remember, were so beautifully meduyik, Bikan ve'elech bizvachim, shikdishan b'shas heter habamais. So you made the hekdish b'shas heter habamais, you were makri b'shas isra habamais. So now, how do I know the differences? Because it says, you take a look at the Lashon, l'man asher yaviu b'nei Yisrael at zivcheyem asher hem zovchim. What does that mean? The karbonis that they used to bring, Zvokim shehitarti lecha kvar, al pnei hasadeh, and that teaches you that a zoveach, even though you made it a kagadesh before, b'shas Yisra b'mais, it's the equivalent of bringing it to some avodah zorah al pnei hasadeh. So there's only a mitzvah ve'evyun la'ashem. So that's a mitzvah saseh. Where's the lo taseh? Lo yizbechu od et zivcheyem la'sirim. That's a lo taseh. All of this is in that same group of psukim immediately after the first iser of Va'alehem Tomar. So there's a separate, what is that weird thing? That weird thing about not bringing korbanos l'sirim, that's the iser of even having a korban brought, though you gave it b'shas heter habamais and you thought you were going to be allowed to, and you were allowed to at that time. So yochel yeonesh koras, even in that case, therefore, chukat olam tiyazot lehem, only zot, meaning only that pasuk that told me the koras in the first psukim, which was a reference to the shas isra habamais, but lo acheret lehem, zot means only this isra lav, and not the isra koras. Right, okay. So that is how it is that we understood the psukim until now, and our Mishnah actually takes for granted these distinctions, and it says the difference between being makriv b'shas heter habamais, if it was hugdash also b'shas isra habamais. So we have all of those different nekudas that are mentioned, and for the first time we put together all three situations. Hakdosha v'hakrova b'shas isra habamais, hakdosha b'shas heter habamais, and hakrova b'shas isra habamais, and hakdosha b'shas isra habamais, and hakdosha b'shas heter habamais. So we had all of those differences, and now let's take a look at the details. All right, so basically we have completely different psukim talking about the different zmanim of when you made the hakdosha. So says Rav Kahana, this din in the Mishnah, that there's no chiyuv of koras, if you were magdish the korban during a time of heter habamais, and you went ahead and you were mala it, does not mean you were mala it. It's if you were zoveach it. The whole difference is only benogea shchita. But if it comes to halah, then the chiyuv of koras is also going to be chal. Because remember those words, va'alehem tomar? The whole thing begins, the Isser of Halazchut begins with va'alehem tomar, ish ish v'beit Yisrael, etc., asher yale ola ozavach, that back in Achre Moz is meant to say, add to the above, al hasmuchim, the dinim that we just mentioned before, which is right after the Aleihem Tomar, is the reference to the case that we had L'chatchila, which is the Isser of Shchita. And now it's telling us that this meant the Aleihem Tomar. Add to what you said before, as if it's written with an ayin, that the chorus that we just mentioned, which is Benogeya, the Shchita, that is true at all times, binogea the ha'aloh. So even though b'shchita, you're right, you're not chayev koras if it isn't during the time of the isra habamais at the hakdosha, but whenever you bring up a korban, b'shas isra habamais, if you're ha'aloh, you're a chayev koras. Matki floraba, that's what happens when Ashkenazim teach the Gemara. You don't know the difference between Aleihem Tomar and Aleihem Tomar. I mean, it doesn't say ayin aleihem. It says ve'aleihem, aleihem. It's to them is the meaning with the olive. So what are you saying? Add to the previous thing. It's not what it says. Miksi ve'aleihem tomar, aleihem tomar. And that's the equivalent of to them. So where do you get the idea that there's a reference to the Zvicha and the Koretz? Not to mention the fact that Otanya, Arba'ak Lalotay, Arbi Shimon, Omer B'Kotcha. There are basically, this is adding one additional klal that the Mishnah didn't mention. So if there were Higdish and Bishas, Isra Bamais, and you either did Shchita or Ha'alah B'Shas Yisra B'Mayis B'Chutz. So remember, we had an Esa, a Lotasa, and Koras, as we just learned in the Brayta of the Gemara that when we went back to Kufav. Higdish and B'Shas Hetra B'Mayis, V'Shachat V'Hela B'Shas Yisra B'Mayis. All you have is, as we quoted before on Kufav, Harehen B'Asei V'Lotasa, and we learned out B'Feresh, Zot lahem velo acheret lahem. You only have the essay and the lota say you do not have a chiyuv karas. Now, what about if Higdishan b'shas isra b'mayis, v'shachat ve'alah b'chutz b'shas hetra b'mayis? How about the other way around? You made this hekdesh during the time of Shiloh, let's say. And now Shiloh is destroyed, and you go ahead and you bring up your korban on a b'mayis yachid. So then you have the chiyav, harehen ba'aseh, you still have that chiyav of veheviyum Hashem, but there's no lotaseh, because there's no koma koma shetireh. Higdishan b'shas hetra b'mais, vehelan b'shas hetra b'mais. Now, how about if you actually were magdish them when it was mutter, and you were shachat vehela when it was mutter. So obviously, in that case, it's not possible to have any kind of chiyav whatsoever if you were magdash. You could be over on your neder. If you made a specific neder while they're about to build Shiloh, I'm going to want to bring this carbon in Shiloh, and you don't. Okay, so you were over on your neder. But you're not over on a chiyav of Shom Ta'aleh. That's his new chiddush. So we've got four klolim in this thing. And the Mishnah didn't mention the last one because it seems so obvious. Obviously, if you're magdish b'shas hetera b'mas and you're makre b'shas hetera b'mas, you're doing a mitzvah. You're not doing an iser, so why do I need to even mention it? What do you mean? Potter miklum. Okay, in any event, you see very clearly that if you bring something up, while b'mas are mutarais, there is no chiyav of koras, even for halah. How could Rav Kahana say that? No, you did. That's only for shechita, but for halah you would be chayav. You're absolutely right. To yufta the Rav Kahana, to yufta, this absolutely shows that Rav Kahana is wrong. No question about it. Okay, now we went through all kinds of things that are different when you bring something on a bama ketana. Let's see what the mocker is to all of these things. So we said, there's no din of smicha. How do we know that? Because it says, lifnei Hashem is samach, and this is not lifnei Hashem. Okay. There's no din of tzafon on a bama. How do we know that? It says, tzafon lifnei Hashem. This is not lifnei Hashem. There's no din of saviv, meaning shnayim shein arba. You just have to put dam on the mizbeach. How do we know that? Because it says, v'zorku al ha-mizbeach saviv. That mizbeach is the mizbeach asher petach olmoed, as it says in the pasuk beferish. This is not petach olmoed. Okay, how do we know there's no tnufa on a bama ketana? Because it says, v'heini fa-kohen lifnei Hashem. This is clearly not lifnei Hashem. Okay, how do we know there's no din for a mincha to bring it to the hagosha of the southwest corner of the mizbeach? Because it says, higisha el ha-mizbeach. Or, it's Rashi says, better pasuk is, ha-krevo ta-bnei Aaron lifnei Hashem. So it says, b'ferishim lifnei Hashem in that pasuk. And this is not lifnei Hashem. So therefore, I know all of these things don't apply in a bama. Interruption. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, I don't know what we're talking about. What do you mean, Hagosha? There's not even a mincha brought on a bummer, so how could there be Hagosha? Ain't mincha a bummer at all. From Rav Sheshes, if you hold that yesh mincha b'bama, so then you would also hold yesh ofot b'bama. But if you hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds ein mincha b'bama, then there were no karbanos of of at all on a bama, even to bring a yisharot, meaning even to bring a neder v'nedava as an oath, which is all varai, an option in Vayikra. That is only in the Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash itself, but absolutely did not apply to the Bama, because what's the pasuk? Zvachim v'lo minachot. The reason that I know there's no mincha is because it says, the mana sheyaviu b'nei Yisrael zivcheyem asheim zovchim al pnei asadeh. That's the pasuk that we're darshaning here in Achrimos. Vehevi umla Hashem el petach ha'ol moed el ha'kohen vizavchu zivchei shlamim la Hashem otam. Four times it mentions zevach. Zivcheyem asheim zovchim vizavchu zivchei shlamim. Zevach. Zevach means not a mincha. Zevach is shchita. Is there a shchita done to an oaf? No. So then if you hold zevach means no mincha, then zevach means no oafot either. And therefore, just note that Rabbi Yehuda is saying more than appears on the surface. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the things that don't apply in a bama ketana. There's no din of kahuna. Why? Because it says beferish. Vizorak ha-kohenes adam ala mizbeach asher lifnei petach ha'ol moed. Is this petach ha'ol moed? No. You don't need big day shares because it says l'sharet bakodesh. Is this bakodesh? No. You don't need clay sharet because by clay sharet it says asher yishartush bam bakodesh. Is this bakodesh? No. There's no din that it has to be l'reach nichoach and that you're not allowed to have it as barbecued before putting on the mizbeach. How do we know that? Because it says l'reach nichoach l'Hashem, only l'fnei Hashem. There's no mechitza in the damim. Means that there's no marking on your mizbeach, and it means there's no differentiation between putting the dam lamala mechuta sikra or lamata mechuta sikra. There's no concept of a mechuta sikra. There's no mechitza for damim. Because what does it say? Vaita hareshet ad chatzi ha-mizbeach, dafka the mizbeach in this pasuk, which is the mizbeach in the Mishkan. And that was the marker for the mechitza of the damim, remember? That took the place of the chuta sikra, actually the opposite chuta sikra, took the place of the rosh etat chatzi ha-mizbeach. There's no din of washing your hands and your feet in the kiyor. It says, ubekorvatam el ha-mizbeach in this pasuk, in the actual mokam ha-mishkan, yirchatzu. But if you're not in there, then you don't have to be rochets. Omar Rami Bar Choma, this din, that there's no mechitza, this is only true, meaning for damim, this is only true, ela bekachi bama ketana, v'kriyavam bama ketana. So if you're bringing your, you made a neder, and you're going to bring a korban oila, fine. So that korban oila is supposed to have its dam underneath the chut ha-sikra. And if you bring them on a bama ketana, so then there's no din of needing to put it beneath the midpoint. You can put it wherever you want. You can put it on top of your bama, even if it's an oila. But if you try to bring that oila that you had been makdish for a bama ketana, and you went ahead and you brought it on the Mizbeach HaTzibur, then you have to treat that oila the way you treat every other oila. And over there, yesh chitzui. Even though you had in mind that you're going to bring it in a place where there's no chitzui, and therefore you think that your neder of an oila is not mechayev the dam to be lamata bichut hasikra, if you bring it on a mizbeach, it's a din in the mizbeach that the oila is brought in, and not in the hegdesh, yesh chitzui. Motiv Rabbah, so Rabbah said this is not, doesn't seem to be true. Because, look, the chaz of vishok and trumas lachme teida, noagin b'kachei bama gedela, ve'ein noagin b'kachei bama ketana. So we said there was no tenufa, so there's no chaz of v'shok, and the trumas lachmei teda, which consists of one of the lechamim, of each of the four types of lechem that's brought with the teda, that also normally requires tenuf and is given to the kohen. This is only in a bama gedola, but in a bama ketana, then it doesn't make any difference if it's the type of thing that you're bringing to a bama ketana. So it's mashma, it doesn't matter where that's brought. It doesn't talk about the karbonis of a bama gedola, karbonis on a bama ketana. It's which type of kedusha it is. That's the pashtus of it. So if that's the din of the tenufa, so then lechora, that should be the din of the dam as well. Look, I mean, it does not have to read that way. You know, we're not that makpid, because if we weren't aware of what Rami Bar Choma was saying, we wouldn't have even noticed that idea. That is a very subtle point. And therefore, he would read the Braita to say, not that it's noagin bekotche bama ketana, but that it's a noagin bibama ketana, which is what you were saying. It's a function of the Mizbeach and not of the intent at the time of the Kedusha. So that's what Rami Bar Choma would be saying. Now, Ikari Amri is actually an opposite Rami Bar Choma, that Omar Rami Bar Choma, when did we say this, that you do need a mechitza for dummy bibama gedela? That's only if you had made it kodesh originally for the bama gedela. The opposite. So l'shana ela bekotche bama gedela, that you were makriv on the bama gedela. It's not a din in the mizbeach per se. It's a din in the type of kedusha for that mizbeach. But if you made the kedusha to be brought on a bama ketana, then even if you find yourself in Novin Givon, oh, what an opportunity, I'll go to the bama sibur, it still would not require the dam of the Ola to be beneath the Chut HaSikra that was present on the Mizbeach in the Bama Gedela. And here, therefore, we tried what before we asked on Rami Bar Choma, we now try to use as a raya for Rami Bar Choma. So, lema misayeale, since it says that Chazav Eshok V'Trumas Lach Meteida is noagin on the kochim of a bama gedola, and it's not noagin on the kochim of a bama ketana. So what do you see? That it's a function of the kochim. It's a function of what it was that you were being magdishit for. And if you were being magdishit for a bama ketana, it meant that the type of eila that you created is an eila that is not necessarily on the bottom of the mizbeach, it could be on the top of the mizbeach, and so on. And that is the stress on the din. So then, if that's true, then the chazav v'shok v'trumas lach meitoida, they're noagin only bekotche if you had in mind to bring it on a bama gedola. But if you had in mind to bring it on a bama ketana, even if you do bring it on the bama gedola, there would be no din of a tenufas chazav v'shok and so on. So that must be true. Lagabi the din of mechitza for damim, which is a raya to Rami Bar Choma. And what before we used to take apart the kasha against Rami Bar Choma, we could say over here is also it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a raya to Rami Bar Choma, because it could be read as noagin bibama gedola ve'noagin bibama ketana instead of the kedusha of the bama gedola or the bama ketana. Okay, so we've done some amazing stuff today in understanding the four different shitas about how to read the pasuk of Menucha v'Nachala. We've done, I think, a beautiful way to understand the entire concept of Sheva Shekovshu, Shekivshu, Sheva Shechilku, and how that would actually fit with the Rambam's psak about Yoshua's creation of an ongoing milchama of the tzibur, so that there shouldn't be a din of kivush yochid, the Beis Yishai's approach, and we've talked about the way in which, in the end, you can end up saying the same thing about whether it was etra bomas after Shilai if you held like Rabbi Shmo, not because the Torah gave a het to Ben Zelazah, but because of the Shaila of Kedush Rishona, is it Kicha L'Shaito or Kicha Le'atid Lavo? And we also learned the new four different categories of the different chiyuvim, lotase, hase, and chiyuv kares, that's associated with the four different situations, Higdishan v'Ikrivan, actually eight different situations, because we had Rivka Hana before we showed that he was wrong with the Tiyufta, but we had eight different situations, which was Hakdosha v'Shchita b'Shas Iser, Hakdosha b'Shas Heter, and Shchita b'Shas Heter. And we had Hakdosha b'Shas Heter and the Shchita b'Shas Iser, and the Hakdosha and the Shchita, both b'Shas Heter. And then we had the Hakdosha and the Halah, both b'Shas Iser, the Hakdosha b'Shas Heter, the Halah b'Shas Iser, and so on. So we had the same four categories, and we learned the differences in the halachas of which lavim apply, which aseis apply, and where Koras applies. So it's been a very packed daf, and the more packed the daf is, the happier Richie is. He might even be so happy today that he's willing to do a little bit of Tful Yom just to round out the excitement of the morning. But we'll see in a moment whether that's true.